The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Brethren, let wives be subject to their husbands as to the Lord, because a husband is head of the wife, just as Christ is head of the church, being himself Savior of the body. But just as the church is subject to Christ, so also let wives be to their husbands in all things. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and delivered himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, cleansing her in the bath of water by means of the word, in order that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she might be holy and without blemish. Even thus ought husbands also to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh. On the contrary, he nourishes and cherishes it, as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body, made from his flesh and from his bones. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. I mean in reference to Christ and to the church. However, let each one of you also love his wife, just as he loves himself, and let the wife respect her husband. Please stand for the gospel. Holy gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 19, verses 3 to 6. At that time, there came to Jesus some Pharisees testing him and saying, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for any cause?" But he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that the Creator from the beginning made them male and female and said, 'For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' Therefore now they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. So everyone here in our two communities, sisters and us, wish you the very best. We congratulate you. And from one point of view, we can't say that we are happy to see this because we are losing you. But we are very happy for you, and we have you in our prayers. We are hoping the very best for you, despite what has happened to our corrupt world, in which sacrament of matrimony basically does not exist any longer, at least not in its correct form. It's not in its correct understanding of what this sacrament is. It's one of the seven sacraments. So this is a very holy bond that you have formed. Very holy. We hope and we have every confidence that yours will be different than the rest of the world, most of the world. This bond that you have formed, we are praying, will be a beacon of light for all those who know you. And what will they see in the shining light of your marriage? Hopefully they will see God, and they will see that through the truth of your faith, which will be clear from your lives. They will see it from the joy that is on your countenance. They will see it from your sacrifices, from your virtue. That's primarily what they will notice, your virtue. All of your virtues, your faith, your hope, and especially your love. So, what is this love all about? This is meant to be a love not like any other. Very unique. It is a sacramental love. We call it a sacramental love because it comes from a sacramental grace. You remember that each of the seven sacraments not only gives sanctifying grace, increase of grace, if you are already in the state of grace, but it gives, each one has its own special grace, and we call that sacramental grace. And the one that is for you in this sacrament is the grace of love. Now, it is normally considered, the grace of this sacrament is normally called the grace to live a holy life, but especially to rear, you're to have children and to rear them for heaven, to train them to go to heaven, and secondarily for each other. That's secondarily. But nevertheless, it is there. So it is for your children, the grace, the sacramental grace, to help you get them to heaven. Secondly, to help each other to reach heaven, to live holy lives. That's what it is in essence. And it comes from this grace of love. That's the avenue that it takes, the channel. And you must understand where this comes from, this grace of love. Comes through you. Because today, you have not just given each other a sacrament. You've done it in the same exact manner that a priest does it. So today you have, in a very special way, been priests for each other. What does a priest do? The priest, let's take the example of the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. The priest says during the Mass, for this is my body. And when those words come out of his mouth, those came from Christ. Remember, the principal priest at every Mass is Christ. And so the priest speaks, Christ speaks through the priest and confects, makes the sacrament take place. In the Holy Eucharist, the bread becomes Christ through the mouth, the words, the breath of the priest. And this is what you have done. And so you said words to this effect, I take you as my spouse. And that was Christ speaking through you. And he was giving himself to your spouse. So you gave each other Christ. And even though you love each other, who is it that you are loving in when you love your spouse? You love Christ, because that's what this sacrament is all about, love. From the cross, when Christ died on the cross, he gave us everything. Everything that we need, everything that we should want. And the primary gifts that he gave us were these seven sacraments. Each one of the seven sacraments, do you recall, is an aspect of the cross, Christ's death on the cross. And so, for instance, the sacrament of penance is the mercy that Christ won for us by dying. That's just one example. Yours is the most beautiful in many respects because when Christ died for us, he died, he had infinite love for each one of us. And that is what people see when they see you. They see and they think of, if they're thinking, they think of Christ's love on the cross. And that is why this sacrament has the special grace of love, because of Christ's love on the cross 2,000 years ago. And his love when that cross, that death, is made present at every Mass. So that's why your grace is one of love. And this is why he gives you this grace. You love in your spouse, you love Christ. And this is what your first obligation is when you love each other. In every act of love, you reproduce the love of Christ on the cross, and every act of love between the two of you is meritorious, and it is so much a reflection of God that it is like the Trinity. Remember, you heard the gospel or the epistle, both they become one flesh. It's like the Trinity. Father and the Son are one. And what happens with the Father and the Son being one and their love for each other? A person eternally is produced, comes forth. And so consequently, you are such a perfect image of God and your love for each other that you produce a third person for heaven, for the Blessed Trinity. It's magnificent. And your first obligation is to have that child reach heaven, to train them. And what is the most important thing you train them in? Love. Because that is why you are here. That's why we are here also, but not like you. And so the first thing is to teach them love. Number one, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, thy soul, whole soul, and my whole mind, whole strength. That's number one. And how do you do that? Primarily, one way, example. By your example. If they see in you great love, we're not talking now about your love for each other, we're talking about the love that they see in you for God. It's seen through your love for each other, but it's for God right now. If they see this in you, they will automatically love God as you do. It's perfect. The perfect teacher is example. You are their model, models. That's number one. Number two. What's the second commandment? Second of the great commandments. Thou shalt love thy neighbor. How? As yourself? No. You're married. Thou shalt love thy neighbor more than thyself. That's what they must see. Second commandment for you is easy. Thou shalt love thy neighbor more than thyself. And your neighbor is your family. That's who we are talking about. That's who you love more than yourself. This is, of course, easy because, remember, you are loving Christ and your spouse. And we all love God more than we love ourselves, don't we? And so your sacrifice is constant. Your love for God in each other shines forth, especially for your children. Love thy neighbor more than yourself. That's your children. You must give yourselves to each other and to your children as to God. These are your gods. Your family is your God. Love God in them. Not part of the time. There's the trick. It must be all of the time. You've heard people say, we spent quality time together. That is, we've got to keep our language clean here. That is baloney. That's a lie. There's no such thing as quality time in a marriage, in a family. No quality time. It's quality life. People who say that have guilt. People who spend quality time with their families are guilty because they're not giving themselves completely. And so they take their family aside occasionally and pretend to love them. That's not you. You sacrifice constantly so that you can say, my spouse gives himself, herself, all the time. This person loves us more than herself, himself. More. This person never thinks of himself or herself. Never. They always think of us, all the time. Then you'll have a successful marriage, and you will reach heaven. We don't want to spend any longer with you, but we will say this before we finish. First of all, just for one second, commemorated today is this several martyrs. We mention it just in passing because this saint, martyr, Pope Saint Alexander, we mention only him. We don't want to take time to mention the others because he is your saint. He's your tie to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass because he was Pope in the right at the beginning of the second century. And it is attributed to him those words in the Mass just before the consecration. On the day before he suffered, qui pridie, cum pateretur. The day before he suffered, those words are attributed to him. That's your tie to the Mass. You were married on his feast. And this is the last thing. Whenever a sacrament is confected, whenever a sacrament takes place, you remember this. Three things happen. during all sacraments, three things happen. Something from the past, something from the present, something from the future. They're not all three visibly clear at all times. You have to think about it. But they do take place when the sacrament takes place. And so when you gave each other this sacrament, what happened was the love of Christ on the cross for everyone was given, you gave that to each other. And so it was like, of course we know Christ is present here, isn't he? He will be especially at this Mass. But he came down for you. He came right over there, right here, with a share in that love from the cross from 2,000 years ago. And he gave you a share in that love. That's the only way it could have happened. That was past. Present is that you received that grace here and now from the cross, from Christ. And you received the grace from here to the end of living a holy life because of that love, that you will be holy. You are holy now, but you will be holier because of this grace. That's present. Future looks to heaven. And this is the thing we wanted to mention to you. Because this season is the Paschal season. And so we know that Christ, this candle is symbolic of Christ who is here with us, risen from the dead. Christ is here glorious. It's through this symbolic sacramental candle. He is here. But more than that, on this day, occasionally, the Feast of the Ascension is celebrated. And so your marriage took place, we can say, during this time of the future, the Ascension, the resurrection, your time in heaven. We are hoping that when you remember the day that you were married, you will remember that your purpose is heaven, and especially yours more than most because of this day being during Paschal time, taking place on the day that the Feast of the Ascension often takes place. And it is often near this time of your wedding, your anniversary. And we are hoping that you will look to the future every time you remember this day. You will look to the throne of heaven when you will be not only one with each other in heaven, but you will be glorious. You will be one with Christ, one with the Blessed Trinity. Let this day remind you of the beatific vision more than most marriages. So we are praying for you, and we are keeping you especially in mind during this Mass, which is for you. And good luck. And God bless you.